Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And so it goes. Mike Max Sports to the Max, 635 and change on News Talk 830 WCCO. The Minnesota Vikings, they keep on changing. This is a pretty good question for you, the people out there. The question is, so the Vikings are going to bring in Rick Dennison to help. He's going to be the offensive line coach, veteran guy. How much do you think, based on your lives competing, many of you played sports along the way, they're listening right now, how much does it matter if a team has good coaching? And how much is it about the players? Can you give me a percentage breakdown on that? Is there a way to put those, to quantify that very complicated equation? Because I'm left stupefied by it all the time. Some suggest that it's all about the players, while others maintain coaching is a huge part of it. The Minnesota Vikings were 8-7-1 coming off a 13-3 season. And I don't want to say they're a free fall. They're not. But they are taking drastic steps right now to try and give some oomph to their offense. And it would be my conclusion that perhaps even the Wilf said, you know, we don't care how you change it, but something's got to change. And they've reacted by bringing in the latest Rick Dennison. Clint Kubiak, who was once with the Vikings, he had Gary Kubiak's sons brought in as the offensive advisor. Clint Kubiak, his son is brought in. And he's the quarterback's coach. I mean, everybody's getting paid in this deal, man. Everybody's making money. But then you see on the other side, the two co-offensive line coaches from this year, I understand based on the people inside that I talked to, that they will not be back. And so you ask yourself, you extrapolate yourself, what is the formula as to how important coaching is versus if you just give me the players, we can win. The oldest saying there is amongst coaches is forget the X's and O's, give me the Jimmies and Joes. And what that means in essence is it doesn't matter what your game plan is. It doesn't matter strategically how you draw it up. You got this good play to run against them and all this stuff. All that stuff doesn't matter. The only thing that really matters is if you give me a bunch of really good players, then they'll make plays and the rest take care of itself. And they'll take bad plays and they'll make them good. And so the Vikings are trying to take offensive coaches, and I don't know how they, you know, philosophically what they do to change it. The next step will be trying to change the roster, but the roster makeup is really down to just the offensive line. Everybody else stays in place. You know, they got a decision to make on Latavius Murray, Anthony Barr, etc. But the people that on defense, they can come back with the same defense and be competitive. On offense, they know who the receivers are. They know who their tight end is. They know who their quarterback is. They know Dalvin Cook's going to be the future running back if he's healthy. You're really down this team to just the offensive line. Do coaches matter much? 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Do coaches really matter that much when you watched the Timberwolves last night? And maybe you thought that, you know, many people said, got to get Tibbs out of there, got to get Tibbs out of there. Is it really about the coaches if you give up 149 points and you've got all your players there and available to you? Is that about coaching? Is that about the system that Tibbs had in place or the one that Ryan Saunders put in place? I mean, what was that debacle that we saw last night? Is that about coaching? Is that about players? 651-989-9226. About the time, see, that I'm ready to sign off on this, being about just the, you know, just give me good players and nothing else matters. And to a large extent, I buy into that. And then all of a sudden, I see what happened with the Minnesota Gopher football team. You know, their defense was, it was like putting water through a, what do you call those things? Saners? Sieve? Whatever it was. It was easy to score on them. And I go, well, nobody can change that. They fire the defensive coordinator. Well, big deal. What can, big deal? They got a new defensive coordinator, you know, and he's on the same staff. Nothing's going to change. And all of a sudden, they start playing really good defense. And by the end of the year, they played really good defense. And I was sure that that defense couldn't be saved because it was all about the players. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't. 651-989-9226. Let's go to John and Egan on line one. John, you're on.
Hey, Maxie. First thing, just congratulations on your promotion at CCO. I couldn't go to a more deserving person.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Second thing, I go back. I used to coach youth baseball, football, basketball. And as you know, with those kids, you have the AAA level, you have the AA level. And we always said back then, at the AAA level, anybody can coach those kids because that's where all the talent is. The real coaches are at the B level and the C level. Because you had to figure out where to put that talent and how to make them work together. I still think that transfers into professional sports, too. You can have a lot of talent, but if you don't have somebody steering that ship and trying to bring that out as a team, it's not going to happen. So I still think the coaching is important. Just because you have talent doesn't mean you're going to win.
And it's amazing how there are coaches, and I say this particularly in outstate Minnesota, where you really are, it's the hand that you're dealt. You're not going to get kids just to move in or open and roll at your school. And you see these coaches that win every year. They might not win the state championship every year. They might not go to state every year, but they win every year. And you say, well, yep. How are they doing that? Well, they're doing something. They're either creating an environment where kids want to practice in the off season, or they're putting kids in the right place. They're doing something. Because they're given basically the same chest of athletes that everybody is.
Yep, you take a look at Bram for basketball.
Yep.
They're always in the mix. Not necessarily at the state, but they're always successful. And I think that has a lot more to do with the coaching and the attitude than it does with just talent. And kids will, even when I coached at the B level, those kids worked hard. And they really knew what they wanted to do, and they knew they had to play together. And as a coach, then you go to coach the All-Stars, you didn't have to do anything. You just put them out in the field, and you really didn't coach them much. So that's where I still think a good coach can bring together talent and make them better.
Appreciate it very much, John. Have a good night. Drive safe. Let's go to Glenn in Roseville, who's waiting on line two. Glenn, you're on.
Having a hard time figuring out why Brian Billick wasn't given that Viking team years ago. And why wasn't Danny Gladden given the Twins years ago?
Okay, let's start with Brian. We'll take these one at a time.
Okay.
Brian Billick left the Vikings after the 1998 season when they were one of the best teams in the NFL until they got upset by the Atlanta Falcons. So there was absolutely no reason at that time to dismiss Dennis Green. They had just recorded the greatest offensive season in the history of the Minnesota Vikings and, of course, fell short in the championship game. And because of that, Billick became a hot commodity and was signed subsequently by Baltimore to coach that team. So that's how that went down with Brian Billick. I don't know that Dan Gladden's ever had a great interest in managing the Minnesota Twins, maybe as a coach or something. I guess I've never asked him that. But I don't recall a time ever hearing that he really wanted to manage the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah. Well, what I'm getting at is just listening to him on the radio, it sounds like he wants Adam. I mean, he's always saying things before they even happen in these years.
He is, man. And that's the beauty of having him on the radio and having guys like that because they – and I'll tell you the other thing that amazes me. Well, I'll share that in a minute, but is when you have guys, and Dan's a good example, you know, I don't know how many people even know his story, but I used to do some hunting with Dan. We'd be sitting out in the blinds and telling stories, and one of his great stories to me that I remember was he went to Fresno State. He was a good baseball player, but he had no place to play professionally. And he went and hung out and just worked out, I believe, with the local minor league team. And either they had injury or somebody moved up or something, and they said, well, here's a guy that's played college. He can certainly handle himself. You know, he's good enough athletically, et cetera. And from there, he worked his way up the ladder to the big leagues. My point being, he has had to be a student of the game. He has had to figure out how to get, you know, from station to station. He's had to do all those things. And yeah. Generally speaking, those guys have a pretty good acumen for the game because they had to figure it out every time. It wasn't like they just go, well, I'm going to just, you know, I don't care if he throws a 98-mile-an-hour fastball. I'm going to catch up to it and hit it. You got to be better than that. And I think that's why that's why it's fun to listen to him on the radio, too, because he's had to be a student of the game all along.
Yeah. But I sure would like to see him managing a team and then have either Morris or Blylevin for his pitching coach, get all the old boys back together. And as far as Billick, I think he was looking for a coaching job here not too many years ago.
Well, he's been out for a while, though, and I stay in touch with Brian on a regular basis. And I think he's past the point now of seriously wanting to be a head coach again. I think that when he was let go by Baltimore, he got $20 million. So he's in pretty good shape, and then I think he wanted to for a few years, and then I think you get to a point where you go, okay, that ship left the dock, and I got my Super Bowl ring, so I'm okay with that. So really smart guy, articulate guy. We'll have him on again soon, but I always enjoy my conversations with him. Glenn, thank you for your call.
All right.
But the thing that amazes me when I hear Corey and Dan on the air for 162 games plus spring training and all that, when you listen to them here on CCO, is you would think that at some point in time, you run out of stories, right? That you run out of stories from your playing days or your scouting days or whatever. And it is amazing to me that Dan Gladden has got fresh stories all the time. And something happens on the field and that triggers something that makes him think about, and all of a sudden and you're going, whoa, that's a good story. And I've never heard that before. And some of it is recall, but some of it, some of it I'm sure is triggered when you sit and watch and you go, okay, that reminds me of something that happened to me when I was in whatever. And he played in Japan and all those things. But it makes for just a delightful conversation between he and Corey. And Corey knows how to play the straight man well. And you put those two together, and it's pretty fun stuff. You know, not every game is a good game that you broadcast. Not every game is going to be a great final three innings if the score is already 7-1. Etc. And so you have to have the ability at some point in time to be able to move on the fly a little bit, and he can do that very, very well. On tonight's show, we're going to talk about the shortage of officials in this area. Frank White's going to join us. Why are not more people refereeing? And there's a need for it. They had to cancel and move games just because they didn't have enough referees. Rod Carey is going to be on with us. Why Zeta native was coaching in Northern Illinois, just took the job at Temple. Be fun to catch up to him. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, Kevin Hartzell's coming in studio. Now, there's a name. There's a name from hockey. The 40-year anniversary of the Gophers National Championship. We'll talk to him about that. He's also coaching the juniors, and we'll talk about the state of hockey in Minnesota and beyond. Got some good texts here. Caledonia football team, perfect example. Complete partnership between coaches, players, and community. Absolutely maybe the best example I've ever seen in my life. You think Caledonia gets a bunch of great football players that are just born into that community for some reason? You think it just kind of is happenstance, and they're just lucky, or maybe it's a herbicide that they've got out there, or a pesticide? Or do you think maybe they got people believing, excited, and they come in and they work out in the offseason, they don't want to let down the alumni, and they got a coach, Carl Frichte, there that makes sure they're there in the offseason and working on it and thinking about it? I think that might be it. Let's go to Rose in Lamberton. Rose, you're on.
It's not Rose, it's Bruce.
That's what I meant, Bruce and Lamberton, but we did have Glenn and Roseville on, okay?
Mike, I've been wanting to call you for many years and talk about coaching, and you're talking about it tonight.
Yep.
I have one name to mention to you, and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Dave Main.
Dave Main, man. Say no more. Hall of Fame coach and my high school football coach, and just as good a coach as you can play for.
Coached against him once upon a time.
Did you? He can coach, man. Let me tell you, when you played for Dave Main, you always knew you were really well prepared.
That's exactly right. Coached against him once upon a time when Sanborn, Lamberton, and Wabasso was paired in football.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we had a shot.
Mm-hmm.
we didn't have a shot.
No, I'm telling you, we would go into these games. He was so good. And he was a major influence in my life, not just as a football player. Because what he taught
that's
me was,
coaches,
yep, you outwork
what good
and
coaches do
exactly. And what he taught me was, and I think this is key, and you'll relate to it, Bruce, is you prepare off season, in season, all those things, because that's all you can control. So on Friday nights, the things that you can control, being prepared and working out in the off season, you've done that.
Right.
So now it's about, you know, who can make the plays, et cetera, but you never have regrets then because you know that you worked hard to prepare.
That's exactly right. And Mike, before you go, congratulations on your new spot. It's well deserved.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Bruce. Thanks for calling in.
All right. You bet. Bye.
And Dave Main could, the other thing was, that he taught by osmosis was he hated to lose. And I don't think there's anything wrong with teaching that, folks. I think that's okay to hate to lose. Frank White on the shortage of officials up next, and Rod Carey, Kevin Hartzell in studio. We got it going tonight on WCCO.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.